السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام على من اتبع الهدى. A warm welcome to the Reminders program this Wednesday, the 12th of August, corresponding with the 26th of Shawwal, 1436 Hijri. So happy to be in your company. Let us begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah adada khalqihi, subhanallah rida nafsihi, subhanallah zinata arshihi, subhanallah midada kalimati. In a beautiful form of poetry that I read this morning, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and assistance. Ya latifan bil baraya, ya karimu, ya jawad. Hadihi dunya balaya, fitanun, tadmil fu'ad. Faj'al ya rabbana, hawaya tab'an nishar ilhad, wa'fad hadihi al baraya, min al kufri wal inad. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's an explanation and a plea to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the world is a world that's full of tests. And it's test by which the heart breaks, it's test by which the heart cries. So make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our desires, followers of what will keep us protected from ungratefulness and from rebellion. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. As you have been listening to the promos and if you've been following the hashtag RIYWoman, you'll know that we're running a very, very small Women's Week discussion on the radio stations for a short while in our drive time programs, and between 10 and 12, inshallah al-Aziz, we will be talking about women, hopefully not from the normal way that you get to hear about them. So I'll be focusing on that, and one of the characters that I've chosen to talk about in the first part of the program is Rabia al-Basariya or Rabia al-Adawiya. And of course, many, many legends and fables around her life. And we'll be talking about why do people fable her life to such an extent. After 10:30, inshallah, Mu'allima Sara Kaur will be talking to us about the journey that she's undergoing with her son, who has severe anaplastic anemia. So we'll talk about severe anaplastic anemia and the journey that Mu'allima Sara is going through, how she finds courage, how she finds hope. And she's going to give us a little bit of an uplifting discussion, talk, inshallah, about how to keep positive, how to accept the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last week on the Reminders program, we talked about the importance of equilibrium or balance within your own soul. And the discussion was about empowerment and the fallacy of empowerment, because we said that if you are waiting for somebody to empower you, then you have misunderstood your journey from the time you have become baligh. Because from the time you became mukallaf, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala entrusted us with the responsibility of being Allah's khalif on earth, or being Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's deputy on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying to us that here you go, you do good, there are going to be repercussions. You do bad, there are going to be repercussions. And I now entrust you to do what is good and right on the earth. Subhanallah. So that was already the empowerment that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that regard. And if we still are waiting for someone else or something else to empower us, then surely we have got a little bit off balance. We also discussed last week with regards to this Women's Week, a Women's RIY Woman campaign that we are running, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed all of us with aql and blessed all of us with intelligence. And so many times we want to rebel against what we deem that's not correct or what we deem is not right.
مصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق ولم يداله في علم ولا كرم. فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق ولم يداله في علم ولا كرم.
Reminders program 10 to 11 a.m. with Abdullah.
Welcome back. I was, before we got cut off, I was talking about Surah Al-Asr that the Sahaba Ikram used to read to each other before they left or when they departed from each other, reminding that we were all lost except those who have Iman and practice righteous deeds. Watawasaw. The last two verses are related to mutual encouragement, the importance of mutual encouragement. Mutual encouragement towards haqq and mutual encouragement towards sabr. And this is essentially what this campaign is about. This is essentially when we talk about these luminaries, when we talk about these fantastic women who lived in the past, it's a form of encouragement. Everybody bends the stories to their own will and they let it say to them what they want to say. So it doesn't mean that the lesson I take from it is the lesson that you're going to take from it necessarily, but the lesson is there for someone to take from it. It was very encouraging for me this morning to hear about the launch of a website from Naima B. Robert. A lot of you have heard of her. You read her book, From My Sister's Lips. She launched another book. And sadly, in April, she lost her husband after 16 years. And we followed that journey of her, supported her, made dua for her. And she's launched a brand new website, MyIdda.com. And she writes that she had the first time she had the idea for MyIdda.com was a week after her husband had passed away, and she was looking for in-depth information about Idda for a Muslim widow, trying to make sense of the coming 4 months and 10 days, wanted advice on what to do, how to pass the time, how to come out of the period stronger and ready for a different future. And when she came to what you find insofar as literature, there's always the fiqh about it, you know, the technicalities of observing Idda, what to do, what colors you can wear, what colors you can't wear, whether you can apply henna to your hair, whether you can wear eyeliner, etc. So she launched this site, and her main purpose was to share insights, advice, experiences, to support. And believers are there for each other. We're there to support one another. So what we found is a lot of the time in women's campaigns, in women's months and that sort of thing, we all just sigh and we look and say, oh my God, not this again, not that again. It is so boring. I'm so tired about hearing of this. But, you know, it's very, very easy then to reduce it to, oh, just another one of those campaigns. And we forget that there are genuinely people that are needing assistance, that are needing help, that are needing support. And we forget that we ourselves need it ourselves. Indicated by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in Surah Al-Asr, that we all are going to be lost except if we don't have Iman, do righteous deeds, and support one another in this journey. So essentially, Women's Week campaigns, or Women's Month campaigns, or Women's Day campaigns, if we're hosting it here on the radio station, is a form of empathy. Not sympathy, is a form of empathy, is a form of listening, is a form of reaching out. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has placed a lot of emphasis in that in our deen. So let's go back to Rabi al-Adawiya, or Rabi al-Basriya. I first heard about her, or thought about her deeply in the year 2004. We were in Jerusalem, and the bus driver said, let's hop off here at the Mount of Olives. So we said, fine, we'll hop off at the Mount of Olives. And oh, here is the resting place of Rabia Adawiya, Rabia al-Basriya. And the people around me were in shock, and they were in awe. And, you know, we performed our Zuhr Salah there. And I wondered, what was it about this woman that, you know, let everyone, even it made it a pit stop that you had to stop there and you had to talk about her life, and everybody told you different things about her. And this is the interesting thing about Rabia al-Adawiya, or Rabia al-Basriya, or Rabia al-Qaysiya. She was a female Muslim Sufi, if you want to call that, a Muslim saint. There's not much information that we know about her life. That is why her life is so fabled. She was born between, or she was born in the 8th century, at least that much we know, between 717 and 108 in Basra. Basra is in Iraq. That's why a lot of people refer to her as Rabia al-Basriya. And a lot of what we know about her is narrated by Fariduddin Affar. For those of you who are familiar with the Conference of the Birds, Fariduddin Affar wrote about her. He was a later poet, a later saint. He wrote about her 400 years or so after she had passed away. She didn't leave any works about her life. So you get all of this misinformation that flows around about her. What was she like? What was she about? Are we going to hear about her? Did she do a certain way? Did she develop a certain form of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So like I said, there's no writer that lived very near her own time to give us her biography. What we do find, we find in the memoirs of Fariduddin Affar, who lived more than 400 years after Rabia Basriya, and much of it is legendary. And the legends sometimes, of course, don't correspond with historic facts, because a lot of people say, you know, she was married or she was a widow. But a few other narrations say, no, not at all. She received many proposals from the people in that time, even the Amir of Basra. But she said, no, she doesn't have time for that. She has to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we generally have is a sense of her personality, an estimation of what she was like from those who had lived after her and who'd heard of her fame. So like I said, she was born in one of the, in the 8th century in Basra. And some say it was a very, very poor home. Some say it was a noble family, but a poor home. And miraculous events took place after the time of her death. Nonetheless, they were traveling after her father had passed away. They fell into difficult times. She was called Rabia from Ruba or Arba'a, the fourth daughter. She was the fourth daughter, hence she was called Rabia. We also know Yaqub alayhi salam, Aqaba from the Arabic term. He was the last son, hence he was called Yaqub, the one who came last, or the baby. So they were traveling, and she was an orphan, and she was captured, and she was sold in the marketplace, and fell into bondage. Well, that much we know. And she had to work in the house of her master, like a lot of people were captured in those days as slaves. So she used to do all of this work, like they used to work as servants would work. And after she did all of her work, she used to fast in the daytime, of course, carry out her appointed tasks, and worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala at night. And one night, her master woke up from his sleep, and he looked out through a window of the house. Well, this is, of course, a narration that we have second hand and third hand. And he saw Rabia's head bowed in worship, and she was saying that, my Lord, you know the desire that is in my heart is to obey you, and you know that the light of my eye is to serve you. If the matter rested with me, I wouldn't even cease from 1 hour worshiping you, but you have made me subject to this creature that I am working under. So while she was still praying, she saw that there was, you know, something above her head, and happened to be a ray of light. So the master, when he saw that sight, he got a little bit afraid, and he went and pondering until the next day. And when the day dawned, he called her, he spoke kindly to her, and he freed her. He said, you know, I understand that perhaps this is not something that you wish to be in, and his kindness, he freed her. She asked for leave to go away. She took her leave, and she journeyed into the desert. And there she lived, she found herself a little place to live in, and she worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala devoutly there. Some say first she followed the calling of a flute player, and thereafterwards she found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she occupied herself in her works of piety, and a lot of people came to know about her because of their passing through the desert, and she was outspoken. She said whatever she needed to say or however she needed to say. And one story comes forth from Abdul Wahid al-Amr. He said he went with Sufyan al-Thawri to visit Rabia when she was sick. And out of awe of her, he says, I couldn't begin to address her. When you say something, I said to Sufyan, say something. Say some sort of dua or something like that. So Sufyan said to Rabia, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahumullah, that I make dua for you, your pain will be eased. Rabia said, you making dua for me? Do you know that it is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has will that I suffer? So he said, yes, I know. So she said, that how is it that you know that, and yet you're telling me to request the contrary to his will? It's not right to oppose one's friend. So what do you want, Rabia? He asked her. So she said, you're a learned man. Why do you speak like that? Why? What do you desire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, and then she's telling him, she says, for 12 years I've been wanting fresh dates. And in Basra, that's not a big deal. You can get fresh dates anywhere. But I haven't eaten any because I am his servant. And what business has a servant to desire? If I wish something that my Lord doesn't wish, that's going to be infidelity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must only wish what he wishes. To be a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if God gives it to us himself, that's a different matter. And Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah at this time reduced to silence, obviously thinking about what she had said. And she says to him that, look, I know you're thinking about my situation, and why don't you... She's talking to him now. She says, you're a good man, but Sufyan, you love the world. You love reciting traditions, and are you not ashamed about that? You know, she was trying to get them to understand that it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that she was bending to. And in a similar narration comes from Malik ad-Dinar rahimahumullah. He said he went to visit Rabia and he saw that she had a broken pitcher. And she drank from that, she made her wudu from that, she had a very old reed mat, she had a brick that she used to use as a pillow. And he said, you know what, Rabia, you have such rich friends. I have such rich friends also. If you wish, I'll get something from them for you. And she said, Malik, you have committed such a grievous error. Is my provider and their provider not the one and the same? And he said, yeah. So she said that has the provider a razaq of the poor, forgotten the poor on account of their poverty? And does he remember the rich just because of their riches? And so Malik bin Dinar rahimahumullah said no. And then she went on and she said, Allah knows about what I have. Allah knows what's here in my estate. Must I now remind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such his will, and I too will wish as he wills. Subhanallah. So they talk about Rabia al-Basriya as inventing this form of spirituality where she relied totally on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not a must, which is not a must according to Islamic dictates. But why it stood out in that time was people worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for fear. Fear to be saved from the fire of Jahannam, or because they want to enter into paradise. Or people were very, very, very opulent at that time, desiring the dunya. And why Rabia al-Basriya's story or the fables of her life stand out is because she went against the grain in that regard. They say she was, you know, the famous story, and it's like there are books and there are chapters that are devoted to this where you see she had a walking through the marketplace with a pail of water in one hand and flame in the other hand, and people asked her, what are you going to do? And she said that I'm going to, with the water, put out the fire of Jahannam, and with the fire, set fire to Jannah. And it was all metaphorical, because she said that people shouldn't be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just because they want to get to Jannah, or just because they want to be saved from the fire of Jahannam. The actual aim is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't have to subscribe to this view, because we know that if we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for Jannah, which we've been asked in the hadith to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, we will find Allah tabarak wa ta'ala there. But the point was more that in our time, or in that particular time, people had forgotten about the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rabia al-Adawiya or Rabia al-Basriya, for whatever her life story was about, reminded people about that, reminded people that you don't need to focus on wealth and you don't need to focus on poverty. Rather, the condition that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given you is what we need to be satisfied with. We need to make shukr for. So with that, we come to an end on that discussion. After the break, inshallah, we'll be joined by Muallima Sara Kaur from Cape Town, and she's going to be talking to us, as I said, about this journey that she's going through with her son with severe anaplastic anemia.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance, or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top-performing Sharia-compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 274.com. 274 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
can't give solutions to all of life's problems, doubts or fears, but I can listen to you, and together we will search for answers. I can't change your past with all its heartache and pain, nor the future with its untold stories, but I can be there now when you need me to care. I can't keep your feet from stumbling. I can only offer my hand that you may grasp it and never fall. Your joys, your triumphs, success, and happiness are not mine. Yet I can share in your laughter. Your decisions in life are not mine to make nor to judge. I can only support you, encourage you, and help you when you ask. I can't prevent you from falling away from friendship, from your values, from me. I can only pray for you, talk to you, and wait for you.
To India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spices. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanesia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Radio Islam will be holding its annual general meeting on Sunday, the 30th of August, 2015, at the Masjid Salihin Hall, 9:30 a.m. insha'Allah. Included will be the minutes of the previous AGM, the chairman's address, and the audited financial statements. We hereby request our community to attend.
This is part of a Radio Islam Women's Month feature.
Have you heard of Nana Asma'u? Nana was a princess, poet, and teacher. She was fluent in Arabic, Fulfulde, Hausa, and Tamajiq, and well-versed in Arabic, Greek and Latin classics. In 1830, she formed a group of female teachers who journeyed throughout the region to educate women in poor and rural regions. With the republication of her works that underscore women's education, she has become a rallying point for African women. Today, in northern Nigeria, Islamic women's organizations, schools, and meeting halls are frequently named in her honor.
Women's Month on Radio Islam.
أيضا من البركات أنجو من النيران وخاطر
Santak, Radio Islam satellite signal provider, has once again changed our decoder settings. We have in place a dual frequency connection period, which means that both the old and new settings will work until the 31st of August 2015. As of the 1st of September 2015, your decoder will only work with the new settings. Under the circumstances, retuning may be done by the following. Oneself, using the DIY instructions on our website, www.radioislam.org.za. Bring your decoder in for retuning at Radio Islam's offices from Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. in Lanesia, 35 Kuku Avenue. Phone our call center during office hours, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 011-854-7022. And receive instructions on how to retune your decoder. If you are tuning your decoder on your own, you will require a TV monitor. Our technical team will be visiting different areas throughout South Africa. In the Gauteng province, our team will be in Crosby on Wednesday, the 12th of August, on 93 Inver Avenue, Crosby. Contact number 011-837-7890. Technicians for the Gauteng region, Ibrahim Shah, 079-138-4961. Molana Ibrahim Pirali, 074-034-7860. Abdul Haq Panchbhai, 074-786-7860. Safwan Khan, 061-257-5789.
Engage or let your voice be heard. The Reminders Program. Email zana@radioislamlive.com. That is ZANAH at radioislamlive.com. Or tweet at @zana_ZA.
Welcome back to the Reminders Program. You have all the contact details in that promo. If you'd like to participate, please do contact us. I have now on the line from Cape Town. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Mu'allima Sarako.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Again, thank you very, very much for taking the time out to join us. I know that you are very, very busy and in your journey of madrasa. Sarah, we're going to talk about the group, if you'd like, that you started, but that your son is undergoing severe anaplastic anemia. And I'm reading from one of the posts that you wrote. This journey of severe anaplastic anemia is a tough one, a major roller coaster ride. The last visit with Ubaid was a tough one, especially after being on a high from the previous two visits. You go with that expectation that things are going to be great, but it doesn't always work out that way. We came in to find out that his counts had come down, but there are still some positive signs, alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, be with us every step of the way. Don't leave us for a split second. Guide us, love us, and be pleased with us. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Sarah, tell us a little bit about severe anaplastic anemia.
Okay, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Severe anaplastic anemia is to do with the bone marrow. The bone marrow is where our blood is made. So what happens is, you have aplastic anemia, which means that the marrow is not making enough blood, which means white blood cells, red blood cells, and platelets. The white blood cells is carries oxygen in your body. Your white blood cells fight infection, and your platelets that clot your blood so you don't overbleed. Like when you get hurt, your blood doesn't just flow and carry on flowing. So in Ubaid Rahman, my son Ubaid Rahman's case, he has severe aplastic anemia, which means that his marrow is working at a very minimal rate. At his age, he's 3 years old, at his age, his marrow should be working between 70% to 80%, and unfortunately it's working under 10%. So he's not making enough blood at all for his age and for his body.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him kamil shifa. Sarah, we are doing a Women's Week campaign, so to speak, on the program on 10 to 11 slot. And I mentioned in the early part of the program, one of the most amazing things is that in campaigns like this, we reach out to each other, we support each other, we give empathy to each other. So I know that you've been remarkably strong. What have been some of the other things that have given you strength on this journey?
Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, first of all, I have to thank my parents and my family, my sisters especially, my brothers and their wives who have been there for us every single step of the way. Subhanallah, without them, I don't think we would have, you know, made it. They looked after our children, they took care of basically everything so that we could just concentrate on our hospital visits and getting through that first very, very tough few weeks. So alhamdulillah, the support of the family, and especially as a lady, your sisters and your mother, they are the most important people in your life. And, you know, even friends from far, madrasa friends, girls who I've known in madrasa who would message me and would lend that support and would, you know, people you... I feel you would actually feel the du'as with us all the time. Like sometimes you would think, how are we managing this? How is it that we're so cool and calm about it? And subhanAllah, it's only the du'as of everybody and the support that everybody gave us that brought us through it. You know, subhanAllah, it's been remarkable and it's been inspirational the way women, you know, especially women, how they, you know, they when one goes through a difficulty, friends, family, everybody just bonds together and help each other to get through that. And that for me has been, subhanAllah, it's been it's been wonderful in every way.
Sarah, mashallah, you learn it yourself, you provide support to a whole lot of others. But when you look at Quran and when you look at Hadith, can you just share something with us that has kept you going and still keeps you going?
I remember once we had come back from the hospital and we had gotten, in the beginning when we took Ubaid Rahman to hospital, they couldn't put their finger on what was wrong because he didn't have leukemia and initially he didn't have severe aplastic anemia. It was only 2 weeks later that when they did the second bone marrow biopsy that they found out it is actually severe aplastic anemia. And as we were driving away from the hospital and we were overcome with emotion, and we were sitting in the car and the tears were running down my husband and my faces. We were just crying. And then my husband said this hadith, ayah of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something to the effect that do not what they say harm you. Do not what they say, let not the Allah Ta'ala was comforting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah Ta'ala had told the Prophet, the old Prophet, do not what anything that they say, do not let it harm you. So my husband said, let's put this ayat in our context. Let not what they are saying harm us, because we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to depend on. And it was such a beautiful ayah for that moment, because here we had gotten news that we did not want to hear. And here, the same way Allah ta'ala comforted His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we took that same ayah and we said, you know, we took it into our, what we were going through, and we said, you know what, we're not going to let this affect us too much. We're going to turn to Allah and have total trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that ayah subhanahu wa ta'ala stayed with me from that time right till now. And also there's a hadith last week when I posted up on Facebook about the roller coaster ride. And one morning we had woken up and my husband told me, he said, you know what, today is going to be a good day, inshallah. Whatever happens at the hospital, we're going to take it on a positive note. And then I remembered this beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we quoted it to each other. Ajuban li amri al-mu'min. Like, you know, how wonderful the matters of a believer is. You know, all his matters is always good for him. If any difficulty comes, his way and he has patience, it is good for him. Any good comes his way and he rejoices and he's thankful for it, then it is good for him. So subhanallah, I'm so grateful that Allah Ta'ala has given myself and my husband, and that Allah Ta'ala has guided our parents to let us study, because this knowledge plays such an important role in every aspect of our lives. You know, no matter what your condition is, you just think back, and you know those little reminders that you got in class and you got some hadith in the Quran, it comes and it helps you through this life in this world, subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah. Farah, your little boy has been to the Red Cross Children's Hospital, and you spent a lot of time there, I know, even during the month of Ramadan. And when you think of the Red Cross, you know, you're thinking of the cross. And it made me think to myself that so many times it is the non-Muslim organizations and the non-Muslim society that facilitate hospitals in this regard. Your thoughts about this?
When we were at the hospital also, and you know, there was a priestess who came. And then I was telling my husband that, subhanAllah, they are so busy. Even in the hospital, there's a priestess who comes to comfort everybody, and she speaks to them. And, you know, I was thinking, we need to tap into this. You know, we need to send, like, at these hospitals, we need to look out. You know, like, in our Islamic world, in our community, we need to also go into these hospitals, help the Muslim mothers. And the next day, there was a Muslim lady came to me, and she was, she is working at the hospital, and she has a group called the Warriors of Hope, and they prepare iftar, they prepare suhoor, they have zikr on a weekly basis. They are there for the Muslim parents. And she says sometimes some Muslim ladies are not so strong in faith, and they don't know who to turn to. And she says they give that support to those ladies. You know, so alhamdulillah, in our experience at the hospital, although initially I thought, ya Allah, you know, there's no like support for the Muslim sisters here, but there was and there is, and alhamdulillah, I was so happy to see that.
I know there's a lot of Muslim sisters that go to the hospitals and they provide sandwiches and they provide an apple and some tea and things like that. When it comes to the deeni work, of course, due to our traditions and our strong traditions of waqarna fi buyuti kunna, a lot of women tend to stay within the confines of their homes. But when there is a necessity and when there's a need, more need to emerge. Sara, aside from, you know, what you saw there, can you elaborate upon the importance of us needing to be there to support one another, having our voices heard?
Subhanallah, I think it's extremely important, for ladies, you know, because in every aspect, all the time, waqarna fi buyutikunna is in its place. But if you do go out in the proper way with the conditions met, you know, dressed appropriately, then obviously we need to do this work. We need to go out there and we need to support our sisters who don't have any support. Mm-hmm. Because who's going to do it? And the thing is, like, subhanAllah, whether it's in teaching or in the corporate world or in the hospital, there's a need for women to come together and to support and be there for each other. And it's important that we do it in an appropriate manner. Subhanallah. And if we do it in an appropriate manner, Allah Ta'ala will reward us for this. We will, you know, so long as it is done as it should be done. And a woman should never ever feel that she's not allowed to do something. You know, because subhanallah, in the deen of Islam, there is an opening for women in everything. It's just there are obviously certain conditions that will be placed on the woman more than the man. Because obviously they are totally different. So I think it's important for women to remember this, that no matter what it is, we can do it, so long as those conditions are met.
And those conditions are because of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's mercy and because of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's love upon us as a form of protection as well. Yeah. Sarah, you know, when it comes to having a sick child or having an ill child or looking after somebody, sometimes the people that are involved in the journey, whether it's the grannies or whether it's the aunties or whatever, make it about themselves. I find a lot of the time, you know, they draw the attention to themselves and they forget about the actual patient. Have you found that as well?
Not really. I think he's getting a bit too spoiled, that actually, by all his aunts and his uncles and the grandparents. I haven't found that in any way my family has drawn the attention to themselves. It's all been about Ubaid Rahman, and sometimes I feel he's getting a bit too spoiled and it's too much about him, because then the disciplining him becomes difficult. Because, you know, usually when a child is sick, like a normal child who is not sick, you have to discipline, everybody understands, and sometimes granny will say, no, it's fine, leave him. But when the child is sick, it's more difficult, because the child is sick, so everybody will be like, no, leave him alone. Whereas we believe that, no, we can't leave him alone. When he gets better and he, you know, has to go back to school, etc., etc., we want a child with good akhlaq. We don't want a spoiled brat. You know, so alhamdulillah, no, I haven't found that really with us, that, you know, people have abused the fact that he's sick and drew attention to themselves. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. You draw us to a very important point here is, mashallah, the lines of communication are opened. Sometimes when it comes to a couple and there's a sick child, they have a very, very different parenting methods when it comes to this. One wants to spoil and the other one doesn't want to spoil, or the one feels that they can have a free reign, you know, that sort of thing. Let's talk about the importance of talking about your own feelings when you have an ill child.
Subhanallah, the communication is so important, because I think initially when Ubaid Rahman was diagnosed, I was between hope and if something should happen, something drastic should happen. I was between both. I was like, you know what? If Allah Ta'ala wants him back, then we're going to be pleased with that. But I was between the hope and between him, and between the total, you know, opposite side of it. Whereas my husband was totally on the hopeful side. He said, no, I'm not where you are. So I told him, you know, I feel like I'm just protecting myself, because I'm so worried. You know, if I put too much hope, then my heart will shatter to pieces. And I think he understood where I came from. I understood where he came from. And slowly through that, we talked each other through it. We talked each other through it, and we kept on mentioning hadith and advices, and, you know, and we continuously tried to understand where the other one was coming from. And alhamdulillah, it made it so much easier. You know, because when we go to hospital, it would hit my husband really hard that, oh no, the counts have come down. And he would really feel down, and I'll be like, don't worry, you know, perhaps the next visit will be better. So alhamdulillah, that the communication is so important, because sometimes when a difficulty hits you, it can either break you or it can make you closer. And the more you open up and you communicate, the stronger the bond gets and the closer you get. And in that way, you feel you both together can, you know, you can handle anything that comes your way.
Alhamdulillah. For those of you who just joined us on Radio Islam, it's the Reminders program, and we're having our Women's Week feature. On the line with us is Mu'allima Sarah Kaur from Cape Town. Her little boy, Ubaid Rahman, was diagnosed with severe ataxic anemia, short SAA. It's a disease where the bone marrow doesn't make enough blood cells for the body. He's only 3 years old. And Mu'allima Sarah, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her acceptance, and she's sharing with the other female listeners, with the other male listeners on Radio Islam, how we can grow towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, move closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all are building, we all are bricks to one another, supporting each other in this journey of life as we journey towards the Akhirah together. And Mu'allima Sarah is sharing insight with us into that journey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give her son Kamil Shifa, give her strength, give her family strength, inshallah, Al-Aziz, reward them for what they are undergoing. Before we leave you, Mu'allima Sarah, again, I thank you for your time. There are mummies who are listening. There are daddies who are listening. There are nannies and nanas and dadas and daddies. You know, all of those who are listening to the program, and aunts and uncles, cousins of children who are ill, children who are sick. This is something that happens in all of our homes somewhere along the line. Give us some advice, aside from, you know, your personal, the strength that you draw from. What did Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam offer us in the far as solace in this regard, and give us strength to go on?
SubhanAllah, I think the most important thing is to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge of everything. You know, everything, Allah ta'ala is in charge of it. And sometimes we feel our difficulty is bad, but when we see somebody else, we see, SubhanAllah, you have given me something much more easier than what you have given the next person. So, you know, there's always something to be grateful for. We should always be grateful. We should always remember that everything is in the hands of Allah. Like how Allah Ta'ala could give Maryam alayhi salam fruit out of season, Allah Ta'ala can cure a person with cancer, a person with severe plastic anemia, a person who has had illnesses. Allah Ta'ala is in charge. And we have to make dua. We have to make dua to Allah Ta'ala constantly. You know, constantly make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Repair your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so much hadiths and so much Quran ayah that gives us hope with everything. We need to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to look back into ourselves, look at ourselves and repair ourselves, because sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a calamity so that we can grow and we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes Allah ta'ala gives us bounties, but it takes us further away from Allah ta'ala. So a calamity which brings us closer to Allah is better than a ni'mat, a virtue which is taking us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think it's important for us to remember that, you know, Allah Ta'ala is with us and will always be with us. And Allah Ta'ala is in charge of everything.
Alhamdulillah. Before you leave us, Mu'allima Sarah, tell us some of the zikr, some of the awrad that you've been reading while you're sitting at Ubaidur Rahman's bedside. Some of the things that you recite, some of the verses you recite often, or the zikr that you make often enough. So our listeners can also do that, inshallah.
SubhanAllah, I think the one dhikr that I constantly said was La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim, and Rabbi yassir wa la tu'assir wa tammim bil khair. And we would wake up in the morning and we would make tahajjud salah, and we would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us through this. And constant dhikr and recitation of the Quran, it's like a medicine on the heart. It just, you know, it just makes the heart able to bear everything when we make dhikr and we say La ilaha illallah and we read Quran and we get up a little bit earlier and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the darkness of the morning. And in those times you feel the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your heart just, it gets so cleansed, and you know, you latch onto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I would say everybody that latch onto the Quran, let it be a companion through everything. Surah Yasin, Surah Tabarak, every single part of the Quran, let it be part of you all the time. You know, this subhanAllah, it really helps and it gets you through everything. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. La hawla wa la quwwata. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that it lifts difficulty, because we're handing everything over towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mu'allima Sarah, I thank you. Remember, our listeners' du'as are with Ubaidur Rahman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him kamil shifa. Allah be with you and your family. And thank you for taking the time out to impart some nasiha to us this morning.
Ameen. Jazakallah to you also.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Well, that brings us to the end of the Reminders program this morning. It is the Reminders program. The aim of this program is to take reminders from the Quran and Sunnah and make it applicable to our daily lives. It doesn't have to be something fancy. It doesn't have to be something extremely intellectual. It doesn't have to be something that's very, very deep. but something that enables us to at least grow closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From me, Abdullah, my family and brother Tufail this morning, wishing you a wonderful week going ahead. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.